Coming to you from the studios at the Illinois Rock and Roll Museum on Route 66, it's the Rock and Roll Chicago Podcast.
Rock and Roll Chicago.
Hey, everybody, it's Ray the Roadie.
And this is Hollywood Mike.
Hi, Hollywood Mike.
You know, I almost forgot your name. It's been so long.
I know. It's been a few weeks. We've had a number of reschedules going on, so yeah. We haven't been here in a while.
Yeah, you know, that's been going on absolutely everywhere.
Is there?
Venues have been empty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, not empty, but, you know, not as packed and not as crowded. And
it's January.
Like people have been sick.
Yeah.
We haven't had sun for like...
I think they said it was like 14 days or something, 15 days.
It's been even longer than that. Yeah. I think it's been even longer than that. Yeah.
And we had negative zero, below zero temperatures. That's no fun.
Right. That's right.
That's no fun. But tonight, somebody came to join us. I was surprised. All day I was waiting for reschedule.
Yeah, right.
It didn't happen.
Who do we have?
Tonight we have McKenna. We have Brian and Christine. Brian was with us once before.
With who?
Bum, bum, bum.
I didn't bring the bottle of bourbon.
Oh, there you go. Now I remember.
Right. He was with us once.
How do I forget that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I drank that bourbon.
That's right. You know, I think you were kind of quiet in that interview because there was somebody else that kind of dominated most of the talking. We won't say who that is.
That's why he asked me, hey, do you want to do my band?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I got a few things I didn't have to say. Get off my chest, you know? Yeah.
Well, excellent. Welcome to the podcast.
Welcome back again. Yeah, it's great.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Good to see you guys.
Great to be here.
So tell us about your band.
Our band. Well, we have been a band of many different names over many years. So husband and wife, and she's been singing. We first met probably when we were both 16,
mm-hmm.
and we've been married for 29 years.
Nice.
Ooh, right.
Got wow. myself in trouble. This is why I don't talk, right? This is why I'm quiet. But yeah, we've done, music, long time, whether it's acoustic. This particular project was definitely in the hard rock vein,
mm-hmm.
and that's certainly my passion. And all original music. We don't do two. Every once in a while, we'll throw in a cover live, but for the most part, we are doing original music. So being in Chicago, we usually will start playing for 12 to 15 people. And then usually it's the bartender and the waitresses that are waiting for us to get our gear out. But welcome to Chicago live original music.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, yeah. So was music always part of the equation when you met at the age of 16 or no?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I asked him for guitar lessons. And that was one way to like get us to hang out a little bit. But I never really learned guitar.
Okay, I'm gonna write that down. Hey, baby, you want to give me some guitar lessons?
Pretty much.
Yeah, my dad was a little suspect. He's like, so play me a song. Oh, wow. I can play some chords.
Right.
Oh. Yeah. And then we actually both stood up in a friends of ours' wedding. And we did some music for that. And that's really, we had been friends for quite a while. It wasn't like, we were dating or anything. Probably close 7-8 years. Yeah. And then after doing some music for the wedding, that's when she dragged me in. Okay. I haven't been able to get away.
She caught the bouquet?
Actually, I don't remember.
That's a great question.
Maybe though. I did.
That was actually the name of their first song,
Caught the Bouquet.
Caught the Bouquet. <That's right>. Yeah. So music wasn't involved. So you guys met in high school, I'm assuming. Did you go to the same high
actually,
school or no?
Church.
No.
You met in church.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good place to meet somebody.
Yeah. So same people,
Right.
But anyway, yeah.
For the most
part. Yeah. I don't know. We just kind of like, he was accompanying me as I was doing some songs. And so, we'd get together and practice. And it really wasn't until we got married that we're like, well, maybe we should write some songs.
Right.
And then that kind of, he was really wanting to get more into doing some music in a more serious way. And So we started writing and came out with our first CD under a different name called Faceless.
Okay.
And that was what, 99, I think, when we released that? Or okay.
2002.
Yeah.
She said 99. It was 99.
Yeah.
That's when we started recording it. The actual release date was on a Tuesday. It was on a Tuesday.
Right, right.
Well, it took us a while to, you know, put it all together.
Right.
But, and then we did another CD, what was it, 3 years later?
Yeah, something like
somewhere
that.
Somewhere in there. Yeah. Under Faceless again. And then we haven't done anything until 2020 when this latest CD was put out.
Are You Ready? It's called.
Yep.
And it's, I've listened to it countless times. Love it. Just love it. The whole thing.
Well, I'm going to have to because I didn't get this one the last time.
No, I did.
Yeah.
He likes me better.
I actually, you know, and I have a new truck, as you know.
Yes.
I actually have a CD player in it.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of that's new cars nowadays.
How did
yeah.
you wow. make that happen?
Yes. I have no idea. Yeah.
It came with one.
Came with one. Yeah.
Wow.
Well, you know, I should be, you know, it's new to me. It's not brand new. It's a 2015. So they were still putting,
they were still putting
them in there in 2015, which that's I think is true. So cool because I actually found one of my, you know, black nylon folders where you put the CDs.
Oh,
in
man. And you put it in the visor.
That's right.
I love you.
That's right. My kids are like, you are so old. But you have no idea how cool that is to be able to do that.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, now that we brought up, Are You Ready? I have a question that's been just bugging the crap out of me. Song number 10. Homecoming, parentheses, Wild Water. I listen to it, and all of a sudden the song ends. And then it's just dead air. And then Wild Water starts.
A minute later.
Why the dead air?
That's kind of the hidden track.
Okay.
You know, those first 10 songs, there's a continuity throughout, you know, pretty much this is guitar, bass, drums, vocal. Nothing sampled, no pre-programmed, live musicians playing live. We went into a professional studio, record all the drums. We have a home studio where can record guitar and vocals, things like that. So there's a continuity. That song, Wild Water, right? Is it the Ireland song?
Yep.
Really kind of doesn't belong on it. So we just kind of buried it as a hidden track.
Okay.
It's a surprise.
I just wonder if people, when homecoming's done, they just turn it off, you know, but
probably
when I was playing it at home, I had it in my CD players on my computer and it ended and I looked up at it and the timer's still going.
Still going. Going.
And I'm like, yeah, something's coming up.
I don't know if it was worth the wait, but
it was. It was. I like everything on the CD.
And it's very different, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was a real different kind of a driving acoustic song.
Mm-hmm.
There's one song that has keyboard on. Otherwise, it's just guitar, bass, drums.
Okay.
And that was on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Just raw rock and roll.
And you guys wrote all the songs?
Yep.
Everything?
Yep.
Now, you know, I'm going to go write the track 10. Yeah, I'm gonna have to listen to it and see what you're talking
about. You probably will.
It's kind of like the end of a Marvel movie, I guess, where the music ends and everything, and everybody sits there to watch the credits because they know something else is coming up.
That's not, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. Probably a lot of people would be like,
you know, it's done.
It's over. There's nothing going on, you know, unless they forgot.
And it just plays on.
And plays on. And all of a sudden it's quiet and then boom, it kicks in with the drums and bass. And
yep. But I like it. I like the whole CD. Very good.
Right. Before we get ahead of ourselves, because I know our listeners are going to want to know a little bit more about you guys. You know, we always say, you know, if you want to find out what they do musically and you want to see what the band is like, I'm sure they can find you on, you know, the internet and, you know, YouTube and places like that. But what they're interested in finding out is, you know, what was your inspiration? What was the thing that made you say one day, you know what, I think I'm going to do music?
Well, believe it or not, I heard You Light Up My Life when I was seven.
I had that kind of an effect on you? Me personally? Wow.
She looked you right in the eyes. Yeah, she looked did. You.
There was a connection.
Yeah,
there was definitely a connection. That's right.
That's Maybe not then, but certainly now.
Wow. Excellent.
Well, after I heard Debbie Boone sing that song, I was like, I want to be a singer. And probably drove my family crazy because I was like singing that song all the time. And then fast forward high school, decided to get into voice lessons and some classical voice. So, of course, that was a very far cry from rock and roll. But I was into it for a little while anyway, and then started getting into bands later on that were away from the operatic type style singing. And then I was very drawn by the way Sade sang.
Wow.
So that's how old I am. And her.
Listen to her.
Her, you know, very smooth, cool way of singing. I was like, wow, that is awesome. And I'd never heard anybody else sing like that. That was, you know, in the top 40.
Right.
And yeah. And then there was just, you know, singers along the way. They're just pretty awesome. Not so much in the, I would say, the rock world, but of course, you know, can't deny Whitney Houston and those type of singers that just built it out there. Not that I can do that like them, but that was inspiration for me as a singer. And
so, I mean, your influences definitely weren't hard rock, though. I mean,
no, not really. Yeah, right. No, he pulled me more into that genre. But I do like it a lot, and I like the drive of it and the power of it.
Right.
So can't really like name off bands that people would be like, yeah, okay, that's great. She's into it. That's his department.
Right.
Yeah, she's not wearing the Iron Maiden shirts or the Black Sabbath shirts, but that was certainly my background.
Right. You know, fun fact, my father, gosh, I was maybe about 8 years old. My sister was about 4 or 5 years old or so. And he bought a brand new stereo. Before that, he had what we would refer to as a hi-fi. Remember the big oak cabinets and the red velvet speakers, and you lift the lid on the thing and there's a record player under it. And that thing finally, you know, took a dump. So he goes out and he buys this Fisher stereo, right? It was top of the line at the time. And he says to my sister and I, he says, okay, you know what? We have to make sure that the record player works. So I'm going to take you guys to Kmart and you guys are going to get to pick out a record, you know, a 45, right? And my sister picked out You Light Up My Life by Debbie Boone. I will never forget that. I actually still have that.
Wow.
I have the collection of 45s that my father had, you know, that we had sitting in the living room underneath the stereo. So that was an interesting story that it was.
What did you pick out?
You Light Up My Life. I can tell you, but then I might have to kill everybody here.
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, right. We won't hold it against you.
Yeah.
You were young.
You know what? You know what I picked out? I Write the Songs by Barry Manilow.
That was popular at the time.
When I tell people that, man, I am the biggest Barry Manilow fan you will ever meet, they're like, get out of here. And then they make fun of me for the next 2 hours.
I imagine.
But yeah, that's it. Barry Manilow was freaking awesome to me.
My first song was Downtown by
Petula Clark.
Clark. Yes. Yeah, no kidding.
I was like all over that song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can totally get that because there was actually a driving beat to that song. Yeah, you know, that's actually a very popular song at like open mic nights and open jams and stuff like that, because it's not a difficult song to play. And whenever there's a woman in the crowd that decides, hey, you know, I want to get up and sing, I've never sang in front of people before, they always seem to know Downtown by Petula Clark.
Yeah, but the 60s and 70s pop music, there was actually words.
Yeah.
You can hear stuff. The music was secondary. The, you know, the singing was up front.
Right.
So that's why you pick that stuff.
Yeah. Right. So that, I mean, I find that very interesting that your influences were something different than what you're actually doing. A lot of times that makes for a better musician. It makes for a better singer, in my opinion.
More well-rounded.
Yeah. Right. Right.
And, you know, our music is very guitar driven, lots of guitar heavy. Some songs very heavy, even a little bit of Black Sabbath type guitar. And then when you have a real singer that can sing, she's very melodic. It kind of gives it a different twist, which really gives us a unique sound, in our opinion.
Right.
Just the vocals that she brings.
Queensryche comes to mind because I always thought that Jeff Tate is one of the greatest technical singers.
Lady Wore Black.
Ever. Oh, man. What an amazing singer. And you have this fantastic metal band behind him, which is just awesome.
Yeah. One of my favorites.
Yeah. So where was high school for you? Are you from around the area originally?
I spent most of my younger days in Hillside, Illinois.
All right. Perfect.
And I was actually homeschooled through high school.
Right.
So that was another very different experience in my life.
Sure.
And
much more common today, but back then that was not
heard of. Right.
Yeah. I went to LT LaGrange.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Lyons Township.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Back then, if you were homeschooled, they were coming to get you.
Yeah.
They would. Yeah.
Right.
Really? They didn't agree with that. The schools did not agree with that.
No, they didn't. Yeah. You were taking away jobs.
Yep.
Right. We're still paying the tax money regardless.
That's true.
Right. Yeah, you know. Right. So you guys obviously went to the same church then. So you were from the same area as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because Hillside LaGrange, not too terribly far from each other.
Right. So I'm looking at a hard rock, heavy metal guy, but yet you were still playing in church. So how does that happen?
God works in mysterious ways.
Yeah.
You know, in high school, I was always the long haired, a little bit of a jock also. I played hockey, so big time into that.
Me too.
And
these front four are fake from high school.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, most people look, oh, yeah, that guy's, you know, definitely a pothead.
Yeah.
And I never touched it.
Yeah.
You know, so I was kind of a little bit unique in that way. I would hang out with the burnouts.
Right.
So it's just, I don't know how that affected us as far as musically. But when you get that rock and roll bug, you know, and Van Halen, I was a few years before, I think they came out in 78, and I think it got on our radar probably in 82, and just guitar. Having an older brother, he was a big Zeppelin fan, so Zeppelin became what we tried to be, you know, between Robert and John Bonham, and
Well, the first two CDs you're talking about that you guys put out, what was that? Was that acoustic? Was that?
No, it was... It wasn't as heavy as this, but it was very much a variety. So we would have something that kind of had a heavier edge to it. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, Marshall, distortion, but there was more acoustic stuff involved in it. So it had a little bit more pop to it. And we would even stretch out a little bit in some jazz type stuff. Okay. Probably that who you had mentioned.
Sade.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we don't do a lot of covers, but one of the songs we do cover is from Sade.
Oh, Ordinary Love.
You know, we kind of do a heavier version of that.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I swear I thought you were going to say Smooth Operator, and I was like, everybody covers that song. Mm-hmm. It was refreshing to hear you say something else. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, no, it's a little different take on it, but yeah.
Have you guys ever done anything as a duo or anything?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah. I mean, for probably through the 90s, we would do a lot of coffee house type stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we traveled, you know, Indiana, Wisconsin, doing just acoustic. But my passion is more Right. Full band.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think we're about to see an example of.
I was hoping we would see like an example and not only see it, hear it.
Hear it, yeah.
Could hear it too.
Yeah.
So what about grabbing your guitar and playing one for us? And we're going to just take a real quick break right here.
You're listening to the Rock and Roll Chicago Podcast.
Hi, I'm Rick Anthony. I'd like to thank my radio brothers, Ray the Roadie and Hollywood Mike, for allowing me to tell you about my podcast, the Someone You Should Know podcast. We spotlight musicians, authors, and interesting people, and we like to say we're making a difference one artist at a time. The podcast is heard twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays, and you can check it out on your favorite streaming platforms and on the web at someoneyoushouldknowpodcast.com. That's the Someone You Should Know podcast with me, Rick Anthony, making a difference one artist at a time.
And now here's McKenna.
Thank you.
Excellent. Very powerful.
Wow.
Yeah. Nice.
I figured I wouldn't throw in the background vocal and ruin it. It was just too good with her voice. I was going to be all over the place. I'm like, nah, don't even bother singing.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, sometimes it's what you don't sing is what sounds so good, right?
That's what she says every time I open my mouth. Oh,
boy. I must say, outstanding acoustically as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
That guitar sounds fantastic through these microphones.
Yes.
By the way.
Does,
it really yeah. does. Yeah. Excellent. Cool. Excellent. Yeah. So what was the inspiration for that song?
Boy.
I guess who's the lyricist? Are you the lyricist?
95% of the lyrics are coming from her. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So this was kind of a late one that we wrote while we were recording. So we'd had quite a bit of the songs done. And this was a little late in the process. So I think it was just going into 2020, there was a lot of tension in our nation already. And then this was, you know, the pandemic was coming up, but we didn't know it at the time. Mm-hmm. But I think it was just like, oh, man, I need a breather. You know, I just like, I need some grace to get through this day because it's just like I'm a bit of a news geek. So for better or for worse, he's like, well, you just turn that off. Yeah. Yeah, and I just
I've wasted so much time in my life listening to CNN, listening to Fox. It's just like, turn it off.
So, you know, sometimes I get a little too into it. So, but anyway, some of this was affected by that. And then just hearing stories about how people are struggling in life, hearing more of it all the time, but just how we need each other and we need that support group and just talking, you know, listening to people is such a great healer too, is hearing people's stories and just shutting up. Not, you know, you don't even have to give your opinion.
Right.
It's just, I want to listen, you know, and they have an ear that someone will listen to them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was kind of the major part of it too.
You said it was kind of a late addition. Mm-hmm. Was this like a sitting at home in the living room one night, or were you guys in the studio and said, hey, we need another one? And
well, he usually will come up with some chord progressions that he'll save and come back to. And then he'll be like, hey, can you listen to this and see what you come up with? And so listening to it, like he'll make me a recording of it so I can hear it in the car because I'm in the car a lot. And I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I hear this and this. And so I sang him some stuff and he's like, OK, yeah, let's work on that some more. So, yeah, so he does a lot of all of the music part of it, progressions and stuff. So,
you know, the car is the best place for all that stuff. Whenever I have to learn new music or whatever, I just put it in, you know, wherever I'm driving around, you subliminally learn it.
Yeah.
Interesting. So the whole recording process, was everything completely done? I'm assuming the rest of the people in your band were involved in the recording, or tell us a little bit about that.
We had originally went into a studio and recorded six, because again, we wanted to get that big room drum sound that you just can't get in your own home studio.
Right.
Or at least we haven't been able to get that. And, you know, we wanted real drums. So we've had, a drummer that we've played with for years, that, Stephen Tabor. And, anytime we're writing new songs, we'll bring him in. He used to be part of our going out and doing gigs. He kind of retired from doing shows, but likes to do studio work, things like that. So we would bring him in with songs, and we went into a studio, recorded six songs just to get some decent drums. And then probably a period of time went by, 7-8 months, maybe a year. We had another batch of six songs that we wanted to go, and we went into another studio, and, we really liked how the drums turned out. You know, we would rent a studio for a weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, track six songs and do several takes and go with the best take. Mm-hmm. So after, we were going to try to marry the two different studios, and we just were not happy with, the drums from the first studio. So then we went back and re-recorded those six songs. I think we did six,
right?
In the same studio, and the studio owner is the person that we ended up using for doing the mixing.
Okay.
Joe Dilio. I don't know if you guys have ever run into Joe Dilio.
Heard the name.
He's been around a long time. Unfortunately, after we recorded it, within a year after that, that studio had been around for 20 years.
Right.
And closed their doors.
So. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunate.
It happened. It happens, you know. It
happens a lot.
Especially around COVID.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's kind of how we did it. We did six songs, and then we did another six songs.
So at that point, did you just have the drum tracks and you were?
Yeah. So I would, we would do guitar, bass live with it, with the idea that we're most likely going to re-record those again. I was getting that live band feel, but really focused on the drums. If we were able to keep some stuff, great. Mm-hmm. But the main objective was, just to get the drums,
right?
To get that sound.
Make sure they didn't sound digital. I guess,
yeah. Right. Yeah. And everything was recorded digitally, of course.
Of course.
Know,
yeah.
But I mean, it's real, you know, we had a drum on top of the snare. We had one underneath. You got overheads, got a room mic. And so, yeah, it was great.
Right. No, that's good, because I, for one, I can hear when the drums aren't real. There's a lot of people that don't, that can't. I can hear when the drums aren't real. So, it's good that you did that.
And stuff we've done, I mean, any being musicians yourself, you know what it's like recording. It's so hard to capture the sound, right? I mean, we don't have Ted Templeman.
Right.
We don't have the budget of that. But I think you'll probably agree, because you've listened to it. I mean, the drums, I mean, it's on a budget, because we'd certainly had a budget, but it really sounds pretty professional.
Yes, it does.
Right. And that has so much to do with Joe. Mm-hmm.
So the musicians on this album are the guys that you play with live?
So David Brown, he'd been with us for the last 10, 12 years. He moved to, and I'm going to say it wrong, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Barry Kleiber, who you met with T.D. Clark Band.
Yep.
Being that I've played with him forever, he was the obvious choice. Mm-hmm. So he's been with us for the last
4 years.
4 years.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so Dave played on the CD.
He played on the CD, yep. And then, and we've got, because our gigs are sometimes spotty and sometimes they're really short notice, like we've, you know, opened for Ace Frehley.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, got the call Friday night about opening for him on Saturday. So we've got a couple different drummers that we use for gigs, because one might not be available.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hold out hope. Keep hope alive. One day maybe you'll open up for some, you know, for somebody who's more popular than Ace Frehley. No. Everybody, they're sitting here talking about, yeah, you know, we opened up for, you know, this guy, Ace Frehley, and everybody's that's pretty cool for a last minute gig.
Oh yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, that one was, cause who did we do at the Forge right here?
Crobat.
Are you guys familiar with Crobat?
I've definitely heard of them.
Yeah. Yep. They're kind of a newer, obviously everybody knows Ace.
Right.
But, Ron Onesti from Arcata.
Yeah.
He's used us for, you know, doing some open slots. We were able to do Last in Line, Vivian Campbell and, you know, Ronnie Dio's band. So, we've been kind of fortunate with that.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's been a big supporter of us. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have a lot of local musicians listening to this, just like jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. There was something on, I don't know what it was, on YouTube. It was just a few days ago. Whenever I went to YouTube, the first things that would pop up were like searches for Ace Frehley. So that's kind of weird that you were saying. I don't know if, did he have a birthday or something like that? I don't know exactly what it was.
Oh, you know what? He, I think he just released, maybe last Friday, a new album came out for him.
That's probably why he's popping up.
That's probably why then.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think he released a single or something like that recently too.
So. Right. I've always thought, I've always been a Kiss fan. I, when I was like in, you know, sixth grade, something like that. remember when you had the snow boots, the moon boots, snow boots, right? So I would put on the moon boots, snow boots, right? And I painted my face like Ace Frehley, like every Halloween until I was too old to go trick or treating anymore. But man, I always thought he was, nobody ever really talks about Ace Frehley as a great guitar player. And I've always thought that he was a great guitar player.
Was this before Barry Manilow?
Yeah, no, this was after Barry Manilow. This was after Barry Manilow.
Just want to get the timeline.
This is when he became cool. He had the boots on.
That's right.
Barry wasn't wearing the boots.
No, he wasn't. No, I mean, he was, but they weren't the cool boots.
No.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. That's great.
But no, Ace has influenced so many.
Oh yeah,
to pick up the guitar. Mm-hmm. He was before my introduction was Jimmy Page. So
yeah,
kind of go down that path, and it's like Ace, okay, you know, but like John Five, you're familiar
yeah.
with him.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, unbelievable guitar player. I mean, Ace Frehley is a big reason why
right.
John picked up the guitar.
Right, mm-hmm. right. You know, and my favorite guitar players have always been rock guitar players where you can hear their blues influence, mm-hmm. right? And Ace is certainly certainly one of them. And, you know, guys like Slash would be another example, you know, mm-hmm. of that. Yeah. Angus Young would be another example of that. So, I've always gravitated.
One of my favorites, Angus.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a huge Angus fan.
Yeah. Right. I think it's time for another song.
You think so?
Yeah, because I'd like to get maybe two more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then let's take a quick break right here.
All righty.
You're listening to the Rock and Roll Chicago Podcast.
I'm Christy from Crime Cave Podcast. I've had a huge interest in true crime since my days of watching marathons of Snapped back in the mid-90s. I needed an outlet to talk about the cases that have haunted me for a very long time. With each episode under 20 minutes, I shine a light on some of the most bizarre cases in the last 50 years. Join me in the Crime Cave.
And for the second time this evening, McKenna.
No one to sell their power.
holy shit.
Yeah. I know you're going to be listening to that CD now.
Yeah. Wow. Now,
that one, sorry to say, is not on that CD.
That's
one of the Faceless CDs.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man. But I'm sure we can find that someplace, though.
Oh, yeah. It's man. Is that on iTunes?
No.
I know actually, this one is, but...
I'll have to get you a CD.
I bet you we can YouTube you somewhere or something. Find it something like that. Holy crap. Is that guitar going to be okay?
Man. Throw them out and I get saw, a new one. Yeah,
I saw sparks and flames and everything coming up. And it was, that was great. Oh, wow. That was powerful. That was awesome.
Thank well, you. This is the CD here. Are You Ready? Looks like it came out in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been a few years.
We're working on some new.
I was going to say, you've got a few years to be putting something together. You got something?
We're working on some new stuff. Love doing it, but there's lots of other stuff going on. So finding the studio time and things.
And finding just the time in general.
It's time in general. And, you know, again, we don't have some big people behind us. So.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And,
but you're writing them?
Oh, yeah.
Because you're writing?
Yeah, always writing stuff. And so I would love to say that early part of next year that we would have a new one, mm-hmm. but mm-hmm. kind of yet to be determined.
Yeah, yeah. So when you guys aren't opening up for legendary guitarists like Ace Frehley, where are you guys playing?
Right now, we don't have anything on the calendar, but hope mm-hmm. to... I don't know what
hope to do some
about.
Festivals. The challenge is playing a few different bands, and of course,
yeah.
cover bands is kind of you know we're probably gigging
right
three shows a month, four shows a month in mm-hmm. the summer.
Sure, right.
So
yeah.
So yeah. Where are the I guess what are the venues that you guys are that you have played or will play? Were there more accept of the original
we music. Used to do more down you know like the Elbow Room
right,
and
right.
The Double Door which I think that's yep. closed mm-hmm. I think
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think so I think it is closed yeah
we would you know sometimes do the Cubby Bear
okay
so really the place is now Displains Theater. We've done some things again that's part of Ron Onesti
right, sure yeah, right
Arcata yeah. Theater
right
We did, what was it? They had a Black Sabbath female tribute band.
Yes.
What was the name of them?
Sabbatha.
That's the other one. This is the one that was from California.
Sabbath. Sabbath.
Sabbath.
Yeah.
Sabbath. Okay. Yeah,
from California.
right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting to open up for some of these national acts because that does give us more exposure. And right. then people are like, oh, where's your, you know, where we can get your stuff and listen to you. And so we'll get requests from people that are, you know, across the states. And so that's always nice you know,
right.
that our stuff is somehow, you know, getting out there. But yeah.
Brower House yeah. is another place right off of North Avenue.
Didn't I just hear something about Brower House?
They closed, but somebody is...
They're under new management now.
It's okay. going to be opening
different
up again.
Name.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a different name.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Yeah. Yeah, you know, what you said at the beginning of the podcast is so true. I for my day job, I do a lot of traveling. I travel coast to coast. And it is so sad that... We live in arguably, the third, fourth largest music market in the country. Mm-hmm. And the fact that I can go to, you know, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and see more original music venues than you can in the city of Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, and like you mentioned, you know, you're opening for a national Black Sabbath tribute band and you're an original act. You'd think it should be the other way around.
Right.
And if it were someplace else other than the city of Chicago, it would be the other way around. Yeah. But it just always has amazed me how if I want to see original music, I have to leave the city that I live in, mm-hmm. in order to do it.
You think about the Chicago bands that have made it. How right. many of them had to go to California?
Right.
You know, I mean, even Disturbed, I think it was when they went to California. I could be wrong about that, but it wasn't right. like they got found here in Chicago.
Right, right, right. right. Yeah, Chevelle was another band from, you know, gosh.
Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. Yeah, all these, yeah. they had to go someplace else, and then they get, you know, not necessarily famous, but better known maybe, and then come back, and they're out and they're able to kind of set up shop here in Chicago. But you're right, you have to go someplace else.
Only one I can think of would be Styx. They did all the recording here.
Right. That's true.
Pumpkin Studios. They did all their stuff here.
Yeah, that is true. Mm-hmm. So if there's any live music venue owners out there, we would love to have you entertain having original music.
And if you're looking to sponsor a podcast, we're always looking for sponsors.
We'll help you promote it.
Yeah.
So how can everybody find you? Tell us about your social media and everything.
So website, if people still go to websites, is McKennaBand.com. Social media part is
Facebook.
Yeah. That one. Thank you. It's McKenna Music. McKenna, I guess, is a pretty common name. You know, who knew? I mean, I know that's our last name, but
I have a cousin named McKenna.
So you have to like put on these, you know, other words to make it yours.
Right, right.
So I was like, oh, shoot, someone already has McKenna. Man, you know. So, yeah, we have to remember one is McKennaBand.com, and then it's McKenna Music is the Facebook, Instagram. And then we stream. We're on Spotify and Apple Music. Mm-hmm. If people like to do that, and they don't have CD players in their vehicles anymore, you know,
everyone
has to stream their stuff.
And with the CD, we did three videos. So YouTube.
On YouTube. Okay. Yeah.
Excellent.
Time to go.
And if they go to the website, the links are there too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if somebody actually wants to buy a copy of the CD, is there a place where they can actually buy one?
They can
reach out to us and we will
DM us on social media and we'll get one out to them.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
I've got one for free.
Or come to the shows that aren't scheduled yet.
Yeah.
We'll throw them out to you.
All right. Well, how about taking us out with one more song?
Yeah.
And for the last time this evening, day, or whenever you're listening to this podcast, McKenna.
It's about life.
And there you have McKenna.
Gets better every time.
Every time.
Every time. Well, thanks, guys, for coming out.
Thank you very much for
having us. Thank you so much for having us.
Fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Well, I was looking forward to this band.
You're a fan.
I am. I got that when Brian was here last time with T.D. Clark.
Yeah.
And he provided me with a CD. I've been listening to it, and it's just fantastic. Yeah.
Gosh, you know, those guys, you know, it was all starting to come back to me as we were interviewing them. Those guys are like a turnstile. We've had a combination of Poisoned Crew and T.D. Clark.
Right.
And then McKenna, you know, through here. It's like we're going to.
Right. We're picking apart the bands.
Yeah. But man, what a voice she's got on her.
No kidding.
Holy crap.
I mean, I've listened to the CD countless times, and acoustically, it's just as good.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope the quality comes across.
Oh, I'm sure it will.
On the recording.
I'm sure it will.
Sitting here listening to her in headphones was like, I mean, almost like hearing a voice from the heavens.
Right.
It was
right.
So powerful.
And his guitar playing, that guitar sounded fantastic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Amazing.
Just wonderful.
I love when people come in and play original music in here.
Yes.
And it's that good.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
And unfortunately, not a lot of original bands out there because there's nowhere to play.
Right.
So
yeah.
Maybe something will change in the coming years.
Hey. Keep the faith, everybody.
That's right. And while you're keeping that faith, don't forget to join us every week, every Tuesday, for another exciting episode of the Rock and Roll Chicago Podcast. See you next week.
The Rock and Roll Chicago Podcast is edited by Paul Martin. Theme song courtesy of M&R Rush. The Rock and Roll Chicago Podcast does not own the rights to any of the music heard on the show. The music is used to promote the guests that are featured. Rock and Roll Chicago. Rock and Roll.